بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وبارك على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، الحمد لله، we have reached hadith number 14 from this collection of hadith collected by Sheikh Rabi' حفظه الله. And this is a hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. And she states, سألت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي عمل أحب إلى الله؟ قال الصلاة على وقتها. قلت ثم أي؟ قال بر والدين. قلت ثم أي؟ قال الجهاد في سبيل الله. رواه البخاري ومسلم وأحمد. And so Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he states that I asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what are the most beloved actions to Allah. And he stated a salah of his correct time. And he asked then what? And he stated bir walidain, be dutiful towards the parents. Then I asked then what? And he stated jihad fi sabilillah, as in jihad in the way of Allah. And this particular narration is takhrij, is that it's found in Bukhari, Muslim, and Muslim Imam Ahmad. As for the biography of the Sahabi, the narrator of the hadith, yani Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, then this is previously mentioned in the fifth hadith, as we discussed. As for the fiqh or the for the mufradat of the hadith, so the gharib al-hadith, then it begins by mentioning the phrase ahabu ilallah, ahab ilallah, yani the most beloved to Allah, akthar, aktharaha muhabbatan ilallahi wa afdaluha. Yani, so the actions that are most beloved to Allah and the most virtuous with Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then after that we have birr walidain. Birr walidain, being dutiful towards the parents. And birr walidain essentially, as mentioned here by Sheikh Rabi', is ta'atuhuma wal qiyam bi hukukihima wal ihsan ilayhim. So birr walidain essentially is the obedience towards them, being obedient towards the parents, establishing and giving them their rights, as well as generally being good towards them, enacting good actions يعني for them. Al-jihad fi sabilillah, this is the battle of nafs wal-mal fi da'wat al-kuffar ila Allah wa qitaluhum li'la kalimatillah. And so jihad fi sabilillah is the one that is one was understood by the one exerting themselves. So, striving with oneself or their wealth in calling the kuffar or the Muslim to Allah and the deen of Islam and fighting against them to the kalima of Allah and the kalima of Tawheed and the La ilaha illallah, the Most High. And so here we mentioned وَكِتَالُهُمْ لِإِلَىٰ كَلِمَةِ اللَّهِ نَعَمْ لِإِلَىٰ كَلِمَةِ اللَّهِ. This is a description of the maqsood of jihad and the intent of jihad. And what is the intent of jihad? jihad fi sabilillah is that the individual makes the kalam for tawheed the Most High. And so, suppose the person reflects upon that when they think about all of the wars that people have, and a person may claim that this fighting and this war is fi sabilillah, yani fi sabilillah, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala and for Islam. However, in order for it to really be regarded as jihad, then of course it has to be with this maqsood, with this intent. I submit the kalima to Tawheed, the Most High. I abra shaykh, the most, ya'ani, when it comes to all of the affairs, the most apparent of all the affairs, is kalima to Tawheed, la ilaha illallah. As for the ma'na al-ijmali, general meaning of this hadith, then it revolves around the fiqh and the ilm of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. And due to the fiqh that he has, his understanding of deen, he sought to ask the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most important questions. And this hadith is no different, where he asks the Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam about the most beloved actions to Allah Ta'ala. Likewise as well, you may find other narrations that mention the same question. What are the most beloved actions to Allah? And then the response being different actions. My response referring to the other actions. This occurs, barakallahu fikum, due to the masalih, the benefit of the one that is asking. What is the most beneficial action? What is the most beloved action that you can do for Allah Ta'ala? Was the most beloved action to Allah Ta'ala at this particular point in time, for example. And so this is why you find particular actions are mentioned of and not others, based upon the narration. However, this narration here, as you mentioned, is indicative of the fiqh fi deen in relation to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, how much he understood the affair of deen and strove in the understanding of his religion. And just as you find, for example, the questioning of the most beloved actions to Allah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also was asked about the most evil actions or the worst of the dhunub, the worst of the sins. And it mentions the narration where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about the ashad of dhunub. And he responds, "An taj'a lillahi niddan wa huwa khalaqak." Wa huwa khalaqak. That you place along with Allah another deity, a rival. Was is He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has created you. فَيَكُولْ ثُمَّ أَيْنْ Then he said, then which? Right, which action is the most severe in terms of his sin? And that's the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentions, أَنْ تَقْتُلَ وَلَدَكْ خَشَّةَ عَنْ يُتِعْمَعَكْ That you were to kill your child, fearing that child will eat along with you. Ya'ani, essentially fearing the poverty due to that child eating from that which you've been provided with. فَيَكُولُ لَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ أَنْ تَزَانِي حَلِيلِ سَجَارَكَ أَنْ تَزَانِي حَلِيلَ تَجَارِكَ يعني Then he was asked, and then what? I wish action. And as he mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a person would fall into adultery, commit zina with the spouse of his neighbor. And so just as a person and his companions would ask about those beloved actions to Allah so they can strive to do them, they would ask about the opposite as well. The worst of the actions, the worst of the sins. So of course they cannot avoid them. So they wanted to have knowledge of the most loved actions to Allah, along with knowledge of the most hated actions to Allah Ta'ala. And so, within this narration, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions the most beloved actions to Allah. He mentions three. The first of them that he mentions is as-salah ala waqtiha. And the salah is performed at its correct time. And the salah performed at its correct time, and the salah itself, is a rukun al-thani min al-qan al-salah, min al-qan al-islam. It's the second pillar from the pillars of Islam. And it's from the first of the ibadat. So it's from the first of the ibadat, يعني, the actions of ibadah that are legislated. No doubt when we refer to the practicing of Islam, then we speak about the practice of Islam generally in based on aqsam, based upon different categories. So you have the aqa'id, i.e. the creed, what we believe in. What are the specific things that we believe in relation to Allah and His Messenger, in relation to the deen of Islam? What is the creed of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah? The aqa'id. Sometimes referred to as tawheed. Sometimes referred to as usul al-deen, or sometimes referred to as fiqh al-akbar. Na'am, this is the first thing. Thereafter as well, whereas upon the individual have fiqh and have understanding of, are the ibadat, the actions of ibadah. The ibadat, what's comprehensive of the ibadat is the salah, the zakah, the sawm, the fasting, and the pilgrimages. Whether it be the pilgrimage of hajj or umrah. This is the ibadat. Thereafter, you have the fiqh of the mu'amalat. The fiqh when it comes to the mu'amalat, the dealings. And so this is referring to, for example, bayu', in the buying and selling, affairs attached to riba, usury, affairs in relation to a nikah, in the marriage, or talaq, for example, as well. Yani, a divorce. And as well, what you find within this discussion of fiqh is a discussion around ahkam in relation to the jinayat. Yani prescribed legislative punishments for particular actions as well. And the rights of those. Ala kullin, the affair of the salah is from the first amongst the ibadat. And this was made an obligation 10 years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the Nabuwah. And so from the first obligations of the Ibadat, and it was an obligation that he received directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is indicative of the great nature of the salah itself. It shows the great nature of the salah. The manner in which it was revealed to the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Along with that as well, is that within this narration, it mentions the salah ala waqtiha. The salah is performed within its correct time. For indeed, no doubt, the waqt of salah, I performing the salah in its correct time, is not only an obligation, but a shart min shurut, min sihat salah. It's a condition for that salah to be correct and upright. And generally speaking, the servant is encouraged to perform the salah at the beginning of his legislative time in order to fulfill that condition. So this is the first thing that's mentioned within the narration. The second is the affair of birr walidain, being dutiful towards the parents. This no doubt opposes uquq al-walidain, yani this action of turning away and being evil towards them. And we're well aware of the importance of birr walidain and being dutiful towards the parents due to the fact that Allah Ta'ala mentions it along with the great affair of Tawheed itself, where he states, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Worship Allah and do not associate anything in partnership with Him. Be dutiful towards the parents. Likewise, Allah Ta'ala stated, قُلْ تَعَالُوا أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ أَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. قُلْ تَعَالُوا أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ أَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Say, come, O Ahlul Kitab, and let's recite that which your Lord has made haram upon you, that you do not associate anything in partnership with Him, and that you're dutiful towards the parents. So these are, no doubt, indications of the affair of the one being dutiful towards the parents, and the fact that it's mentioned alongside Tawheed, indicating its great nature. And the third thing mentioned within this particular narration is the jihad fi sabilillah. And the jihad fi sabilillah is from the most upper part of Islam. As mentioned, its intent is to make the kalima to Tawheed the most high. I to make Tawheed and Islam yani the most apparent of affairs in and amongst all of the adiyan, all and amongst all of religions, that Islam is the most apparent. And this was the intent of the jihad of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the jihad of the companions. And so, with this jihad, they made a covenant by way of their own selves, as well as their wealth, in the way of Allah, striving in the way of Allah. So we understand from this, barakallahu fikum, is that with this jihad and with this intent, the person may strive by way of their wealth or strive by way of their own selves, exert themselves. And it's not exclusive to one or the other. And the scholars, they mention that in terms of this affair of jihad, it begins with jihad or mujahadat al-nafs, and the one striving against oneself, his own self, his own soul. That if he hasn't yani brought his own soul and his own self yani under control, he hasn't controlled his own self, then how can he embark upon striving to make the kalima to Tawheed the Most High. For indeed it hasn't become manifest within his own self. For indeed the nafs of an individual, the nafs of the person, its asl is that a nafs amara bisu, the nafs that calls towards evil, and it is a nafs, a soul or oneself that inclines towards evil. And this is the nafs that is left to its own devices, the amara bisu. So it's upon the individual to strive against that. And if the individual strives against that, then he may have the nafs in lawama, and the self-reproach and so on. Where Allah Ta'ala swore by the self-reproaching soul, which is the soul where a person, he may fall into sin. However, that self-reproaching nature of himself hastens him towards tawbah, hastens him towards turning to Allah Ta'ala and repenting. And then the person really truly wants to strive against oneself and control one's soul so that they have the nafs al-mutma'inna, the soul which is upon tranquility, and a soul which is in accordance with يعني, ta'a, obedience. Because no doubt the individual, he has strove against oneself and one's soul, and he has brought his soul into control to the extent that it has left that initial phase of inclining towards evil, and rather is upon the obedience to Allah Ta'ala. And so it's important this is mentioned. Why? Because you have people that, yani, due to their desires or due to jahil, they will discuss the affair of jihad. However, they will completely disregard the affair of يعني جهاد النفس, مجاهدة النفس, bringing themselves to account, يعني bringing their soul to as a self-reproaching soul, and making sure that their soul is one which inclines towards good rather than the evil. Before all else, this is something mentioned by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. As for this hadith, the benefits we can take from this particular narration. Then, this hadith, first and foremost, affirms the sifat al-mahabba lillah. It affirms that Allah Ta'ala loves. So it affirms that particular, yani, attribute of love. Allah. So that this is something that is a refutation and a rejection of those that seek to distort some of the attributes of Allah Ta'ala, or negate all of the attributes of Allah. That this attribute of love is one which is affirmed with Allah Ta'ala. Second benefit, is that the salah, at the beginning of its time, is from the best of the actions, and the most beloved to Allah. So the establishing of salah at the beginning of its time is from the best of the actions, the most beloved to Allah. So. And then the third benefit we can take from this is that the rights of the parents are those that are yani, weighty and great. and from his beloved actions to Allah, and from his rights, barakallahu fikum, with the parents, is irrespective of whether they are from the Muslims or non-Muslims. As long as they are the parents, then they have due right upon us. And the fourth is the virtue of jihad fi sabilillah. The virtue of jihad fi sabilillah. And that the izzah, the honor of the Muslims, can be established by way of this jihad. Allah Ta'ala knows best. And that concludes what we want to discuss from this narration. The next narration we have is the hadith, al-Khamis Ashar, the 15th hadith, which is the hadith of Abi Huraira, radiallahu anhu, qal, sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yaqul, in awla al-nas yuqda'a yawm al-qiyamah alayh, rajin ashtush shihra, فأتي به فعرف نعمه فعرفها قال فما عملت فيها قال قتلت فيك حتى استشهدت قال كذبت ولكنك قتلت لأن يقال جريء فقد قيل ثم أمر به فسحب على وجهه حتى ألقي في النار ورجل تعلم العلم وعلمه وقرأ القرآن فأتي به فعرفه نعمه فعرفها قال فما عملت فيها قال تعلمت العلم وعلمته وقرأت القرآن وقرأت فيك القرآن قال كذبت ولكنك تعلمت العلم ليقال عالم وقرأت القرآن ليقال هو قارئ فقد قيل ثم أمر به فسحب على وجهه حتى ألقي في النار ورجل وسع الله وأعطاه من أصناف المال من أصناف المال كله فأتي به فعرفه نعمه فعرفها قال فما عملت فيه وما عملت فيها قال ما تركت من سبيل تحب أن تنفق أن ينفق فيها إلا أنفقت فيها لك قال كذبت ولكنك فعلت لي قال وجواد فقد قيل ثم أمر به فسحب على وجهه حتى ألقي في النار. This particular narration of Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu, which he states, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, indeed the first of the people that will be judged upon Yawm al-Qiyamah will be a man that is martyred by a martyr in battle, or killed in battle. So he's brought forth, and he's made to recognize his blessings, and he acknowledges them. As it said, and what did you do with them, what did you do with the blessings? And the man says, I fought for your sake. Yeah, I fought for the sake of Allah. I fought for your sake until I was martyred. Allah Ta'ala states, you have lied. However you fought, so it could be said that you are jari', you are courageous. And indeed it was said. So the command came that he dragged upon his face and flung within the fire. And a man was brought that studied knowledge and taught it I read from the Quran. I was brought forth and made to recognize the blessings that he had. And he recognizes and acknowledges them. And Allah Ta'ala states to him and asks him, what did you do with them, with the blessings? He says, I studied knowledge and I taught it. And I read from the Quran for your sake. Allah Ta'ala states, you have lied. However, you learnt the knowledge, so it can be said that you were an alim. And you recited from the Quran, so it can be said that you are qari, the reciter of the Quran. Indeed, it was said. So the command came that he be dragged upon his face and thrown into the fire. And then thus a man was brought forth where Allah Ta'ala gave him vast amounts of wealth. All different forms, all different types of wealth. And he's brought forth and made to recognize his blessings, and he acknowledges them. And it is said to him, what did you do with them? And he said, I did not leave any means that you loved to spend your wealth, except that I spent my wealth in that way, right, for your sake, for the sake of Allah. And they said to him, you have lied. However, you did so it could be said that you are jawad, that you are a generous individual. And indeed it was said. So the command came, they be dragged upon his face and thrown within the fire. This hadith, barakallahu fikum, is found in the Sahih of Imam Muslim, Musnad of Imam Ahmad, and the Sunan of An-Nasa'i. As for the Rawi of the hadith, the narrator of the hadith is Abu Huraira. And his tarjama, his particular biography, has been mentioned previously. As for the wordings of this particular narration, then it mentions yuqda alay, yuhakam or yuhasab. And yuqda alay, meaning that they were brought forth for judgment and held to account. The word in ustushida, ustashhada, is referring to the one nala shahada, the one that attains martyrdom. When we mention ustushida, Sheikh, he mentions here, Sheikh Rabi', he says, nala shahada fima yabdu linnas, anhu kutila fi sabilillah. Yani, so he attains the shahada, and he mentions here, fima yabdu linnas, from that which is apparent to the people. For no doubt, as we know, as Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, we cannot now make itlaq upon an individual and say, for example, Fulan Shaheed, or Fulan Hasal or Nad ala Shahada, that Fulan is a martyr, or that he is he died as a martyr. If we do not know the reality, and it's not possible that a person says, yani, absolutely that this is the case. However, as mentioned, this is in relation to the one, Aifima Yabdul Innas, from that which is apparent. So what's apparent to the people? The person was fighting, yani fighting jihad, lillah. And so within that, yeah, the occurrence, within that battle and that fight, that the individual is that the individual is martyred or killed. And so what's apparent is that they died the death of a martyr. But we cannot now say specifically ala itlaq fulan, yani, is shaheed. Just as we can't say as specifically about an individual, fulan fi jannah. Or fulan fi nar. Naam. For indeed, this is something which is from the unseen. However, you can only talk about that which is apparent. Naam, that which is apparent to us. So, for example, that which is apparent, the person died a death which was a good ending, mathalan. So we mentioned that which is apparent from the ending, or apparent from the way that they lived their lives. And likewise, the opposite is true as well. We mentioned from that which is apparent, a person, from what was apparent to us, they lived a life of evil. They had an evil ending. But we can mention that from what is apparent, so that it's a means of ourselves as well. Even for the one that has a good, apparent good ending, that we strive to be from those that have good endings. And the one that has a bad ending, that we strive to be from those that do not end our existence in the dunya in such a way. However, it's for the means of taking the ibr, the lessons from them. And not that we now say that this is al-itlaq, this person absolutely is in this state or in that state. Allah Ta'ala knows best. Thereafter, you mentioned jiri. The individual jiri, shuja. The person, he is courageous. Thereafter, you mentioned suhiba, right, the person to be dragged upon their front. So the individual dragged upon their front, upon their stomach, and upon their face. And the reason why this occurs in this particular manner, i.e. they enter the fire in this particular manner, is and dragged yani, in a manner which is anif, yani, a violent manner, is due to the fact that this no doubt is ihana, is a degree of humiliation for them. And so what you find sometimes when it comes to the mentioning of punishments is the nature of the punishment as well is a means of ihana, a means of humiliation. And that humiliation is part of the punishment. The humiliation is part of the punishment. And this can be for a punishment within the dunya or the akhirah. For example, when it mentions the jilda, just the whipping, for whatever the action may be, the jarima is, whatever the crime is. The scholars, they mention, when it comes to this affair of the whipping, the main maqsood or intent with it is ihana for the mujrim. It's an action of humbling as a humiliation for the one that's fallen into the crime. Because when we understand the manner in which the whipping is done, it's not done to break the skin or to leave marks. So we know it's not whipping which is severe. But it's done in a manner that ensures that the person is humiliated by that particular action. Allah Ta'ala knows best. Thereafter it mentions ulkiya finnar, yani the person is thrown or flung within the fire. Again, illustrating the humiliating nature of their entry into the fire. Also the mention of asnaf al-mal anwa, the different anwa al-mal, the asnaf or anwa al-mal. This is due to the fact that mal, wealth, of course, Islamically, when we refer to mal, then we don't necessarily just mean يعني cash or money or currency. Mal can be in many different types. Hence why when we talk about zakah, for example, zakah is of asnaf. Zakah is of different types. You can have zakah when it comes to gold, or zakah of silver, zakah of money, zakah when it comes to crops, zakah when it comes to cattle. Naam. Urud al-tijara, merchandise. So, this individual that's being described within this narration, he had many different forms of wealth, not just money. He had many different, all the different forms of wealth that could be thought of. And, naam, he spent it. So it can be said that he's Jawad. Jawad, yani Kareem. That he is an individual that is generous. As for the general meaning of this hadith, then this hadith, this particular narration, informs us of the wretched existence of these three individuals. And it's an ibrah. And it's something to take heed, and a lesson to take heed of. For the one that has an attentive heart and the one that listens. For no doubt, all of these actions that were mentioned were from some of the best actions. Jihad fi sabilillah, talab al-ilm, sadaqah, giving sadaqah. Naam, all of these actions were righteous actions. As we know, for example, jihad fi sabilillah, as we mentioned in the previous narration, from the uppermost part of Islam. The action that carries fadl from the most beloved actions to Allah. Talab al-ilm. Where the ulama are the warathat al-anbiya. Inheritors of the prophets. And likewise, the one that gives sadaqah. That the one that gives sadaqah is rewarded tenfold, up until 700, when it comes to the sadaqah that they give. And so these are all actions that we've been encouraged to do. All these actions are actions that we've been encouraged to do. So that in the, on the face of the, these actions of these individuals, they were all righteous actions. However, within this particular narration, it becomes clear as to why their existence is one which is an evil one and a wretched one. And it wasn't the action itself, however, it is the intent behind the action. The intent of the individual behind the action. And that his intent, the intent of each one of these individuals was one, an intent which was fasida, a near fasida. It was an intent which is corrupt. And the intent behind all these actions, every single one of them, was not seeking the face of Allah, nor seeking the pleasure of their Lord. However, their intent was a thana min an-nas, wal madh. They wanted from the people recognition and praise of the people. They wanted from them recognition and praise. The first individual, he wanted recognition and praise for his courage. Second, was to be recognized for whatever knowledge that he claimed to have. The third, was to be recognized as a generous individual. And what they sought from the, from these actions was shuhrah, recognition, fame. They wanted to be, a, for example, a champion amongst the people. And the reality is in this narration, as Shaykh Labi mentions, they attained it. They attained what they intended. They attained that jaza in this dunya. What they wanted was the recognition of the people. And the narration mentions, for example, You wanted to be called يعني جريء وقد قيل. You want to be referred to as جريء يعني شجاع. You want to be referred to as courageous. And the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned وقد قيل and needed and it was said. So he wanted it and it was said. He attained it. Or he wanted to be يعني العالم قارئ and it was said. You wanted to be جواد amongst the people and it was said. So they attained this from the people. That's what their hearts intended and inclined towards, and they attained it. However, due to that, what occurs in the Akhirah is one of humiliation and exposure, and that they be flung within the fire. As for the alim, for example, as well, he seeks his knowledge. Oh, as for the one that was the alim in this narration, he didn't seek knowledge in order to be the one that understands his religion and to know what's obligation upon him from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah and the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And to teach the people. Na'am. And to teach the people, yani seeking the face of Allah. Rather, as mentioned, he sought the jaza, the reward and the recompense from the people. And all that recompense is in relation to what the true recompense would have been if he'd done for the sake of Allah. Then the recompense is nothing. It's tafih. It's insignificant. That recompense of recognition of the people is short-lived. The people who recognize him for a specific amount of time, then they're forgotten. Na'am. And this is the case as well. Even when you think about and you contemplate these du'at, ila su, these people that call to evil, and they may have large following. Now, for example, these people that have da'wah on social media, YouTube and TikTok and all this other stuff, all this other rubbish. But this is short-lived. And we even see it in front of our own eyes how short-lived it is. Because these individuals, they call and they have a particular demographic. So, for example, you have these people that call the individuals, يعني, and they call the youth. Now, to rubbish. They call the youth to affairs that are not in relation to the Sunnah, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These youth, in their exuberance and in their eagerness and their zealousness to learn, you take advantage of that. And what you give them in response is of no substance. But the reality is that these youth will not always remain youth. So when they become older, there's nothing to cling on to. And what you find over the years is that these same individuals are gone. There's nothing to cling on to. There's nothing to cling on to in terms of practice and deen. And who are these callers now? Because these callers before, maybe 10 years before, they were youth themselves. But now they're older. And the youth don't want to listen to these people now. So they replace with others. And this is the cycle that occurs. Na'am. However, if the da'wah is a da'wah upon the Book of Allah and the Sunnah and the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it is da'im. It's everlasting. The da'wah of the Anbiya and Mursaleen doesn't come to an end. And so this is why when you have the statement of Imam Malik, نعم رحمه الله ما كان لله ما كان لله بقي. That which is for Allah remains. And so if now a da'i, the person is learning and he's teaching, so the people can say that he's alim or he's qari, the people will say this. But the point being is that this is short-lived to the extent that we witness ourselves that some of these things are short-lived. A period of a few years. But then the substance, because there's no substance that's been given to them, Those people that are amazed by them, again, in their zealousness and youth exuberance, that when they're amazed by them, when that time goes and they're no longer in their youth, there's nothing left. So they've done all of that, and Allah Ta'ala knows best. Recognition with the people, and it comes to an end. However, if a person now seeks knowledge, lillah, and they teach the people, lillah, then no doubt in the akhirah, they have a greater reward. And they don't face potential punishment of this humiliation, as mentioned in this narration. Likewise, the one that gives from his wealth and charity. That this wealth that a person attains is a ni'mah from the ni'amillah. It's a blessing from amongst the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is upon the individual when he's blessed for a particular thing is that he uses it for the obedience of Allah. He does not use it for disobedience. The greatest disobedience a person can use his blessing for is shirk. And no doubt, this affair of riya, showing off, is from shirk. Shirk billah. So he has a blessing and he uses that blessing for disobedience. So what can be the result of such an individual except that he faces humiliation? And so this, no doubt, is a lesson and something we should take heed of. For no doubt, this is referring to the affair of us as individuals and our intent, and that we should always seek to renew our intentions when performing any particular action. For no doubt, this affair of riya, showing off and doing actions, particularly to be seen to be doing them, again, is from the sifat and from the actions that you find from us, the munafiqeen, we have the billah. And Allah Ta'ala knows best, and we'll conclude with that narration and with that, the lesson, inshaAllah Ta'ala. Fabarakallahu feekum. وجزاكم الله خيرا ونكتفي بهذا القدر وصلى الله وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. Inshallah, of course, this is our last lesson before Ramadan. As for what we're going to do during Ramadan, I'm not sure, inshallah. I don't know if we're continuing here or we'll resume after Ramadan in South Manchester. I'm not sure. Yeah. Discuss it with the ikhwah. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah khair.